Matter is a form of world life, life a form of world consciousness. And then there seems to be a little objection to a further step in the series and the admission that mental consciousness may itself be only a form and a veil of higher states which are beyond mind. Next. Wait. Just a bit down. In that case, the unconquerable impulse of man towards God, light, bliss, freedom, immortality. These four words, you try to remember it always, because the latter, a mother deals with the negative aspects in her life, and how she fought, and how she dissolved the first two, the God and freedom, and light, bliss and immortality, she continued in her mother's agenda. So you be very thorough and very understanding about the depth and vastness of these words. God, light, bliss, freedom, immortality. And remember, Sri Aurobindo has added an extra word here. Human, huh? You should be very attentive when you read Sri Aurobindo. It is not a casual word. Not a casual writing. Why he added that bliss? We'll discuss it later, but I'm hinting you because however much I may try, I don't think in 1 week I can complete this. But I can give you a complete understanding. You understand the difference between reading and understanding? This is how you should read and approach. And then you can go on. So first he said that the human aspiration is God, light, freedom and immortality. But now he has added one more thing in your aspirations, the bliss. Presents itself in its right place in the chain as simply the imperative impulse by which nature is seeking to evolve beyond mind and appears to be as natural, true and just as the impulse towards life which she has planted in certain forms of matter or the impulse towards mind which she, page 8, has planted in certain forms of life. As there, so here, the impulse exists more or less obscurely in her different vessels with an ever ascending series in the power of will to be. This is very important. Ever ascending will to be. Our sankalpa, our will to be that. That is not your creation. You are forced to it because of the impulse in nature. Sometimes because of the mind, sometimes because of the habits, sometimes because of the environment. We lose contact with the impulse. But the impulse is always there in us. And when you surrender yourself to the impulse, that is what you should be aware of. When Sri Aurobindo said surrender, you have to surrender to the impulse. And do you know what happens when you surrender to impulse? You become more active. That is the proof. When you have touched impulse. Impulse means the urge, the force to go, the force to be. This impulse, when you touch it, you just can't sit idle, you just can't postpone anything. You have to do it then and there, immediately. If this character comes into you, then you have really surrendered. But if you surrender and say that God will do it, Sri Aurobindo will do it, Mother will do it, they have already done it, what they have to do, you remember that. You have get into tune with it. Got the point? That is the life divine. That is why I am repeating it is. If you understand this, the life divine is over. You have to put it in practice. That's why what I am repeating and repeatedly telling, just don't hear it. Let it go into it, into yourself. The ever ascending series, you remember it. One level to another level, one level to another level, and one level to another level. Every day you be aware of this ascension. Every minute you can feel it, you are ascending. Ascending towards what? Towards God. Then towards? What are the human aspirations? Towards God? Life. Then? Freedom. And all these you experience as bliss. So when all these four are simultaneously going upwards, the ascension, you get bliss. As there, so here, it is gradually evolving and bound fully to evolve. The necessary organs and faculties, these two words, nature, is bound fully to evolve the necessary organs and faculties. The moment you are in touch with that impulse, the required organs, new organs will be produced in you. You will be transformed. Your organs will be transformed. When Sri Aurobindo's body was kept, physical body, there was a light surrounding him. There was no decay. The doctors came, going again, just like in the incident of Sai, in different levels of course. Sai was on the physical, in the mental level, and Sri Aurobindo is on the physical plane, which is much more difficult. That is the difference between the Sai's experience of 3 days without samadhi, and he has to go. And Sri Aurobindo's samadhi. You read what the outside doctors, the government doctors said, that is a miracle. The light is coming out of it and no decay, nothing. So this is what? Necessary organs and faculties. But what happened in that particular case is, Sri Aurobindo completed those organs and everything. But he couldn't develop the gradual development of how to develop it for all the his people. And when I say his people, I don't mean they've been knowing about him or not. His people from time immemorial. And he gave that duty to mother. And what agony and anguish to do that. The pain she has to undergo to do that. You read in her lives. Especially the Man Beyond, Beyond Man book. I don't remember the author, he has given it.
George Rackham.
You read that book, it's a wonderful book. To understand how nature evolves in you yourself, the necessary organs and faculties. But because the present body is not tuned to it, you have to die and get a new body. But now when once you are tuned to the impulse, you need not die. This body can be transformed. That is the difference between mortality and immortality. As the impulse towards mind ranges from the more sensitive reactions of life in the mental and the plant, metal, and the plant up to its full organization in man, so in man himself there is the same ascending series, the preparation, if nothing more, of a higher and divine life. So you should understand the basic evolutions which you already faced. First is the mineral evolution. The second is the plant evolution. The third is the animal evolution. And from the animal evolution, the man evolution is only an intermediate. It won't exist. It jumps into the divine. So after animal evolution, what you have to become is divine. The human being is just an intermediate, and we are wasting our time in continuing this. That is the fault which we have to understand. And that is where equal to can, in any moment you can rub off and jump into that other part of the equation. This is equal to this, samatvam yoga uchyate. And if you can rub off this, you are already there. That simple technology is what Sri Aurobindo has given. I don't know if I could convey the simplicity of it, the easiness of it, because the harder the sadhana, we feel more proud to do it. And that is the problem with ahankara, the mind. And we never want an easy method. Probably we are very sincere people. Why do you want it easy? But please, take it easy. The animal, you understand this. The animal, he is talking about the human body. The animal is a living laboratory in which nature has, it is said, worked out man. Man himself may well be a thinking and living laboratory. These are the adjectives which you must learn. The laboratory, you should think. Individual thinking, that is what I say. Don't say he has thought it, he has thought it, he has thought it. No, you have to think. Himself may well be a thinking and living laboratory in whom and with whose conscious cooperation, our conscious cooperation, that is what is the role we have to play. We have to cooperate with nature. You be with nature. And if you can do it, surrender to nature. Conscious cooperation, she wills to work out the Superman, the God, or shall we not say rather, to manifest God, Just save the correction. You are not going to evolve into a god. It is the god who is evolving into this stage, and he has to manifest himself. You understand the stress he has placed in that particular world. In the man himself may well be a thinking and living laboratory in whom and with whose conscious cooperation she wills to work out the superman, the god, or shall we say rather to manifest god. You are not working to become God, you are to manifest God. But before you can understand what that word manifest means, let us work for God. Because in trying to become manifest, we stop working also. And then what happens? The manifestation will be delayed. It will happen, but it will be delayed. For if evolution is the progressive manifestation by nature, of that which slept or worked in her, involved, it is also the overt realization of that which she secretly is. We cannot then bid her pause at a given stage of her evolution. So, if you think that, no, I don't want to take all these responsibilities, I rest, nature will not you to rest. You are a part of the nature. So, don't try to take rest. Then, the second chapter, the two negations, the material denial, that is the scientific aspect of life, matter is relative. There is no life in nothing, but it is only a different combination of molecules and atoms which give life. That is what the material aspect of that. And our spiritualists also said, no, matter is not required. That is two negations which we have to make positive. In Europe and in India, respectively, the negation of the materialist and the refusal of the ascetic. What did the materialist negate? He said there is no life. It is just an accidental coordination and combination of molecules which give life. That is what science says. And what does the ascetic say? Who cares for this? I don't want this physical life. And these both are wrong. And they were done till now. And that is where the modern spiritualism is said to be the East meets West, or the West meets East. Or the science is meeting spiritualism, and spiritualism is meeting science. The negation of the materialist and the refusal of the ascetic have sought to assert themselves as the sole truth and to dominate the conception of life. In India, if the result has been a great heaping up of the treasures of spirit, or some of them, it has also been a great bankruptcy of life. So when you negate the physical life, the ascetics, what did they achieve? A great treasure of spiritualism. The Ashtasiddhis and the Navanidhis, the spiritualists got it. But they lost what the science has given. Mind, life and matter will be found to be anything else than one energy triply formulated, the triple world of the Vedic seeds. Mind, life, matter. Bhur, bhuva, swaha. Physical, vital, mental. These are the same meaning, different aspects of world and different sweeps of meaning. When you say bhur, bhuva, swaha, then there is the sweep. When you say this mind, life and matter, is there the sweep. When you say physical, vital, no, life is vital. It's okay. Anyway, you can combine. It is a combination, a triangle actually. So you can start at any point, you get the same triangle. Will be found to be anything else than one energy, triply formulated, the triple world of the Vedic seeds. And now, when we are practicing this meditation, surrender to the Supreme, this is what you have to be aware of in the moment of your life. How is your physical body reacting? How is your vital body reacting? How is your mental body reacting? Everything. Mother once gives an example. Someone was shifting the chairs and he was dragging it. She said, no, there is life in it. You gently lift it and without a sound keep it. You understand the difference? Even lifting a chair becomes a yoga then. That is what you have to practice in daily life. I am not saying that you are doing something and you always repeat the name of whomsoever you like. Don't waste time like that. Nothing happens in that. It only means that you are not concentrating on your present activity. You concentrate on the present activity with this, as he said, the triple combination. How is your physical body is reacting? How your vital body is reacting to that particular condition? And how your mental body is reacting? One very good example of this mental body reaction is given in a parable, a story, a real story of course. There was a temple being building and a few workers are polishing and cutting the stones. One asked one man who was working on the stones, "What are you doing?" He said, "What nonsense. I have read a graduation and this incapable government and this. I have to work this." He goes to the other worker and said, "Well, I have got at least a chance to feed my children. I have a family and didn't have a job. At least this working of cutting the stones, I am able to feed my children." And he puts the mic to another man. He weeps with joy, with bliss. He says, "A temple is being built and I am a part of that. I don't know how many great saints and people will come there and do penances and that, and my hand is in it." How the mind works. The first one is hitting. The second one is at least he is confident, self-satisfied. The third one is exuberance of joy. But the action is same, cutting the stones. So what you are doing is not important. What is your mental makeup is important. And if you can practice this, the surrender is sure. The joy. The occasion has been given. If cutting stones can be made into a temple building occasion, why not all your actions? And now the calf, how can make it a surrendering attitude? Think about it. And don't mind, I also cough. But even that can be made a yoga. But now I am not going that example because that will be my way of thinking. You people can think yourself. And decide how coughing can be the third level. Not hating cough, not enjoying cough, but saying that it is a chance to do the yoga. So mind, life and matter will be found to be anything else than one energy triply formulated, the triple world of the Vedic seeds. Nor will the conception then be able to endure of a brute material force as the mother of mind. The energy that creates the world can be nothing else than a will. And will, this is what you have to think, is only consciousness. Will is the only consciousness applying itself to a work and a result. That is what sankalpa is. When a will is applying itself to a work and a result, you don't forget this word. A work, a result. He didn't say the work and the result. And instead of wasting our thinking process, he could have easily avoided those A and D, applying itself to work and result. A simple, this argument would not have come. But anyway, because Sri Aurobindo has written it, you try to understand why he said it is the will, is the consciousness applying itself to a work and a result. And if your entire life, every moment, you are working something or you are trying to get a result, is it not? So if you are sure that your consciousness is applying for a work and a result, your surrender is complete. Next. Page 19, para 3, line 11. The idea of limit of the impossible begins to grow a little shadowy. And it appears instead that whatever man constantly wills, he must in the end be able to do. For the consciousness in the race means the human race, eventually finds the means. It is not in the individual that this omnipotence expresses itself, but the collective will of mankind. This is very, very important, where we have to be together in work. It is the collective will of mankind that works out with the individual as a means. You are a means for a collective good that we forget. Always remember, everything you do is a collective good. But whatever job we are doing, whatever you are eating, even the breathing, we never remember this. But even every breath of yours is a collective breath. You can very easily prove it. We are sitting here, we are breathing. You have to breathe and release. I have to breathe and breath. Are we not doing it every minute? But the air is here. The same air, when it goes inside you, it becomes your ego. When the air goes inside you, it becomes your ego. When the air goes into me, it becomes my ego. When the air doesn't go, the man himself is not there. When the air doesn't go into the nose and comes out, what happens? You will not be there. Do you understand what a work? Breathing, what a work? Your existence depends on it. And how we don't care about it. You should be always aware of your breathing. Then only you can understand how a simple breathing can get into you the entire knowledge. Entire knowledge goes through the breath. You always remember, knowledge comes to breathing, comes from breathing, not from brain. You don't want to accept this statement? Suppose your brain is not aerated properly through the lungs, the oxygen goes into the blood and it gives the oxygen to the brain, it doesn't give it properly, will the brain work? So on what basis the brain is working? On its oxygenation. And from where do you get the oxygenation? So even your thoughts depend on how you breathe. A work, and what is the other one? A result. A work of breathing, and what is the result? Your existence. And you take it so callously and casually. And if you concentrate on that, you evolve. Your growth will be faster. Huh. And this is universal. The entire human race is breathing. You just can't say that I only breathe and the other man should not breathe. So it is a universal application, the breathing. And it is not any conscious will of the collectivity, but a super conscious might, power, that uses the individual as a center and a means. That is the real surrender. When you feel that the super conscious might, the power, the energy, and he is a very humorous man, he says might. You can say it might be. You don't worry about the might, it might be. But he doesn't mean might be, he means the real might. But a super conscious might that uses the individual as a center and means, the collectivity as a condition and field. You are breathing, conditions the field. What is this but the God in man, the infinite identity, the multitudinous unity, the omniscient, the omnipotent, who having made man in his own image with the ego as the center of working. The ego is essential, you need a center of working. But if the center of working decides what to do and how to do and what to enjoy, it is wrong. Omnipotent, who having made man in his own image with ego as the center of working. With the race, the collective Narayana, the Vishwa Manava, as the mould and the circumscription, seeks to express in them some image of the unity, omniscience, omnipotence, which are the self-conception of the Divine. Next. Now, many people ask, well, why is so serious about this now? We'll take some time on this later. Then, when it is a collective consciousness, that is, nature is pushing you, you should understand where nature is pushing you. The wireless was discovered now. That means nature has decided that you should reach that stage. Because nature has done it. And now you have to get that wireless telegraphy. You see what Sri Aurobindo says about wireless. Wireless telegraphy is nature's exterior sign and pretext for a new orientation. A new orientation of life in sending and communication messages. The sensible physical means for the intermediate transmission of the physical force is removed. A sensible physical means for the intermediate transmission of the physical force is removed. What intermediate means? The wires, the conductors. It is only preserved at the points of impulsion and reception. Where you send the message, you need some apparatus, and no wires are required, but you should need a receiver. But in between, you don't need anything. And see what Sri Aurobindo says. If this is what nature is doing, and if you want to participate in nature's activity, then you can jump ahead, because nature takes millions of years to come to that wireless level. But you as an individual can jump. How to jump? Where to jump? It is only preserved at the points of impulsion. This you understand? When you send the wireless, there should be a sending point and then there will be a receiving point. Even for the TVs etc. also, you should have a broadcasting station and should have a TV. In between you don't need anything. Eventually even these must disappear. That you get it. He says it is already there. No transmitter and broadcaster and no receiver. Eventually even these must disappear, for when the laws and forces of the supraphysical are studied, you see how meticulously useful words he has used for us. For when the laws and forces, you remember there are laws for it, there are forces for it. In synthesis of yoga he says, all yogic laws are like the laws of the science. Just like electrical laws are there, always eternal. The laws of the sound is there, always eternal. Similarly, the yogic laws is also there. So far when the laws and forces of the supraphysical, you forget about the physical laws and powers, you go to the supraphysical powers, are studied with the right starting point. What is the right starting point? Have you understood? What is the right starting point? Guess if it doesn't mind. You need not be correct also. And maybe what I may say wrong and maybe what you are saying is correct. We are studying, we are discussing. Don't see that I know everything. And but what is the starting point? Impulse. Okay. Starting.
Aspiration.
It's okay. Both are right in their own way. Okay. Evolution is another part of that. Surrender. That is the correct starting point. If you don't surrender, you just can't catch all these things. But I told you how to surrender. Whatever you are doing, you think of the collective effect. I was telling about the stone crusher. He was thinking about himself and his agony. I have read so much and I couldn't get a job and I am doing it. At his point, ego point. Other one, a bit family oriented. I am able to feed my family, I am happy. And the third man, universal. I am building a temple. Got the point? That is the surrendering aspect. When you can reach that state. And it is easy. We have not practiced thinking like that. And once you practice thinking like that, you will forget these two ways of thinking. It is just a habit. Studied with the right starting point, the means will infallibly find. Once you have that surrender, automatically in your body you will get the means. Means means possibilities. And if nature wants it to have to transform into a new way, it will transform it. Then it can give you an eye, such a beautiful camera. Then it can give you an ear, such a beautiful telephone. And such a fantastic computer in the brain. Do you think it can't give you the means what you want? But you don't want. The mind must go. Let the surrender decide what it wants. That's the crux of this. For when the laws and forces of the supraphysical are studied with the right starting point, the means will infallibly be found. For mind directly to seize on the physical energy and speed, it accurately upon its surrender. There. Instead of this transmitters and broadcasters, the mind can directly seize it and use it. There, once we bring ourselves to recognize it, lie the gates that open upon the enormous vistas of future. on the which process? Surrender, surrender, surrender. And don't think it is easy, but don't think it is difficult. Again, a contradiction. That is nature's way of making us understand. Easy when you know it, is difficult when you don't know it, just like swimming. One who doesn't know swimming, is it easy? It is an impossibility. But when he knows swimming, is it difficult? So be that, be about that. It is very, very easy to surrender. You should know just the knack of it. Next, the two negations, the refusal of the ascetic and the refusal of the scientist, you just go through it. Not necessary, we all know about it. You understand the point? Scientists say that matter is the only thing and it goes on like that and it is the end. We have achieved the goal. And the ascetics say this matter will do nothing, it can't help you. You have to go into your soul and forget about the matter. These are the two negations. Next, just go on like that. Wait, wait. Just a bit above. Now, how to practice the surrendering spirit? There are actually five levels of surrender, and there are five masters in the world who came to us to guide us for the final work of Sri Aurobindo. The first step, when you find it very difficult to surrender, be a witness. Sakshi Bhava. It is not surrender, you are aware of it, you are not surrendering, it is wrong. That is what Sri Ramana Maharshi has said, the silent watcher. I am not criticizing Ramana Maharshi or doing anything, I am telling what he has given to us. When I say Dalton has given indivisible atom and Einstein said that atomic energy, I am not extolling Einstein and I am not denying Dalton. Each follows step by step. So when you find it very difficult to surrender, this is the process. For the witness, if he exists, he just in continuation he has used that word, if he exists, he proves it exists. There is a witness in you. And many people ask me, you say and Ramana Maharshi says and somebody says that there is a witness, but how do we believe it? You sleep, a real dreamless sleep. You are not there, the world is not there, any consciousness is not there. You sleep for 4 or 5 hours. You get up. While you are sleeping, are you aware that you are sleeping? No. Is it not? If you are aware of sleeping, then you are not sleeping. But when you get up, how do you know that you have slept? There must be a witness who witnesses that blank state. So that witness is a very elementary step of yoga. But a very serious step. It is a very elementary step for the Sri Aurobindo concept of yoga, where he says you start with surrender. And we are not starting with surrender also, we are trying to witness. No surrender there. So that witness, for the witness is not the individual embodied mind born in the world, but that cosmic consciousness embracing the universe and appearing as an immanent intelligence in all its works, to which either world subsists eternally and really as its own active existence, or else from which it is born and into which it disappears by an act of knowledge or by an act of conscious power. So into the witness consciousness, how do you go? Through sleep. By act of sleeping, you go into the witness consciousness. But it is not a blank consciousness, it is the power which controls you and the entire world. So that is how we start. That is why I asked you people to ask the yoga teacher for yoga nidra. Instead of that witness consciousness, in that if you can practice the yoga nidra while meditating before Sri Aurobindo. And yoga nidra means blank. You remember it, you are not doing anything. But because you don't know how to do and still be the witness, the yoga nidra aspect helps you to do that. That's why. For 10 minutes, that's more than, never do that for more than 10 minutes. Because after that it is just a waste of time. You may feel that I have meditated for hundreds of hours and this and that. Don't do that. Only 10 minutes is enough. Next. And now, just a bit lamb. By an act of knowledge you are back to not organized in mind, but that which is calm, eternal. When you are asleep, the witness is not a mind. It is not your organized mind. You are understanding this aspect of that consciousness? It is not mind. But what it is calm and eternal, broods equally in the living earth and the living human body, and to which mind and senses are indispensable instruments. To that witness consciousness, where every day night you go, is the mind and senses are its instruments to that witness consciousness. With this aspect, when you are doing something and when you are doing something and you are seeing, if you are not able to surrender, at least be a witness. So there are two birds. Dva Suparna Svijo Sakhaya. In Upanishad it comes. One is there sitting and the other is eating. Similarly, whatever you may be doing, if you are just practicing this witness, slowly and slowly you will go into the surrender. But this conscious being, the witness being, which is the truth of the infinite Superman, is more than the universe and lives independently in its own inexplicable infinity as well as the cosmic harmonies. This is what you have to practice. And if you can practice it, you can do it. And when you do it, you change the world. This is the exercise you have to do. World lives by that. That does not live by the world. If you can understand the thirst, the depth of that statement, the world is living because of that. So if it changes, the world changes. And why do you doubt it? The only thing required is surrender, and before that what I asked you, if you find it difficult, be a witness. And as we can enter into the cosmic consciousness and be one with all cosmic existence, so we can enter into the world transcending consciousness and become superior to all cosmic existence. And when you become superior to all cosmic existence, you direct the cosmic existence. But if you say you are directing it, again the ego comes, the consciousness is gone. So that's a very difficult point. You say I, but you should not be I. And probably EYE, I and I probably have something similar. I is the witness and capital I is what you see. Drashta Swarupe Avasthan, that is what Patanjali Yoga Sutra said. The seer, the witness, is EYE. I don't know why it is pronounced as I, but I is egoism also, the capital I. So the I, the watcher, and the I is the egoism. And now, reality omnipresent. We have found already in the cosmic consciousness a meeting place where matter becomes real to spirit, spirit becomes real to matter. This is what the real science, why we are practicing this supramental descent. Because if what matter becomes real to the spirit, spirit becomes real to matter, so what your spirit wants, the matter becomes. And if you want to think about the cosmic consciousness, because lesser than that you can't enter that field. And when you talk about the cosmic consciousness, what happens? The entire planet becomes one. Planet Earth becomes one. Page 33, para 1, line 3. It is out of this silence is the source of all sounds. Maunavyakhya prakatita parabrahma tattvam. Tattvam, I told you about the five tattvas. Prithvi, you understand the principle? And then Maunavyakhya, the exposition, the explanation of Mauna, silence, is the principle of Parabrahma, Parabrahma Tattvam. You understand the link. This is the Dakshinamurti Stotra. It is out of this silence that the world, this world, is very, very, very important. Each word you utter is full of creative energy. Each word, whether you use it a negative word or a positive word. If you use a negative word, the negative will be creative. If you use a positive word, the positive will be creative. Be careful about your words. That is another way where you have to witness and be conscious of what words you are using. And don't forget, the word which creates the worlds forever proceeds, for the world expresses that which is self-hidden in silence. This in Vedas, this particular part of the sentence is known as chanda. A chanda is a word which expresses that which is self-hidden in silence. And what is the chandas? Gayatri for the world. Okay? So Jai Gurudev, today I just wanted to be a bit serious. I knew that I am making you a bit hard. Tomorrow I will make it very light. Alternate days. But you brood over this. And the first question I have to ask, I am now asking. Should I ask? What is the question that I want to ask? Photo in your houses. How many of you have placed it already? Lift it. Be very sure. The action which you think, it only exists. But the action which you do gives a result. Okay? So I hope tomorrow everyone will lift your hands. It is there, I am talking about in the in your houses. And be always aware of it when you are going through the rooms and this and that. Whenever you see that photo, just imbibe it. These are sadhanas, regular sadhanas. Jai Gurudev.